Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask, please, that you would open our hearts to your word this morning. Please, will you speak to us and impress your teaching upon us. Please be at work by your Holy Spirit, that we might be changed into a people that are pleasing to you. And we ask this for your glory. Amen. So on our Sunday mornings, we've been working through the different aspects of our membership covenant, and we've come to the final week. I think there are 8 or 9 different aspects in it. And this morning, we are looking at the commitment to care that children are brought up to love and serve the Lord. We're going to consider this commitment both for parents in biological families, that's a large number of you here today, but also for all of us in the church family, the body of Christ. Some of you here today will be single. Some of you will have children who are grown up. Some of you will be married but not have any children. Is this sermon for you? Well, yes, it is. Because as members of the body of Christ, you are part of a family which has children. And we are called, as part of Christ's body, to look to the needs of others. Paul writes in Philippians, each of us should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Basic principle of the Christian life in a Christian community, not just looking out for our own interests, but the needs and concerns of others. So we're called into a concern for the needs of others within the church family aged 0 to 18. Some of you will have grandchildren. Some of you will have godchildren. And the responsibility is obviously less than that of a parent, but there's still some responsibility on your part to seek to bring those children up to know and love the Lord. So whatever age and parental status you have, I pray that this subject will be significant for you. If you are a parent, I wonder what your vision for your children is. It's a key question, but it's one that parents quite often never really clearly articulate together as a couple. What's your vision for your children? Is it that they be well educated? Is it that they be happy? Is it they live amongst the upper or the upper middle classes of England? This commitment of the church membership scheme reminds us that the most important concern for our children should be that they love and serve the Lord. Now, I know that this is on the priority list of most Christian parents, but I rarely think it is the top priority. What do you invest most of your time, energy, money, and prayer in for your children? That will show you what your top priority is for them. Today is Palm Sunday. The crowds welcomed Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem as the humble Messiah on a donkey. The crowd spread their cloaks on the ground and they cut palm branches from the trees and waved them to celebrate Jesus. They sang Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they declared Jesus to be a prophet. We want to raise children who will welcome the Lord Jesus like this. We want to raise children who, when Jesus returns, this time not as a humble king, but as the mighty ruler and judge, King of heaven, we want to raise children who will welcome Jesus at his second coming, who instinctively love and serve him, who will stand on that day of judgment and not be condemned because they've trusted in King Jesus as their sin substitute on the cross. Just days after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, another crowd formed in the city, and they chanted different words to Pilate, not words of praise and celebration for Jesus, but rather, take him away, and crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. We want to pray that we won't raise children, both in our biological families and in our church family, who will turn against Jesus and reject him. Lord, please protect us from that. We want to bring our children up to know and love the Lord. So this morning I want to firstly address parents, then secondly fathers, and thirdly the church family as a whole, slightly more briefly. Firstly, parents. And in this, I want to include any prospective parents, even people who've never considered that they might have children, whatever age you are. Parenthood kind of creeps up on you. Wait for ages, and then suddenly you're a parent. Haven't necessarily thought very much about it. So it's great to think about this well ahead of it actually happening. And this is the challenge. Parents, take responsibility for impressing the gospel of Jesus upon your children. At Christ Church, I see many parents who really care about the spiritual condition of their children. Many parents come and join Christ Church because of the Sunday clubs, because of Pathfinders, WAC, and Fuel. Some of you travel from outside the parish because you care about the spiritual well-being of your children. Maybe you've been part of a church where there's no peer group at the age level of your children. And out of concern that they might fall away, you sought out another church where there's a community of people their age as well. You've taken this tough decision to uproot and move. I want to commend you for taking responsibility for your children's spiritual well-being. But this morning I want us to think about the parents' responsibility to impress the gospel of Jesus upon their own children. Because it is firstly and mainly the parents' task. Please turn with me to our first reading in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's on page 185. We're going to spend a few minutes looking at some verses in this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Moses is talking about the law that God has given to the Israelite nation at Mount Sinai. They're to impress that law upon their children. Now we need to develop that. We're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who trust Christ, Jesus Christ has kept the law on our behalf. Therefore, we don't impress the Old Testament law on our children the same way that a Jewish person would. Instead, we impress the gospel of Jesus Christ on our children. And that includes biblical ethics and morality. But the simple point for us today is that parents are responsible for this work of impressing the message. Now, that's quite a strong word, isn't it? Impress. In my mind, it can't simply mean setting a Christian example at home, though that's a very important part of it. Rather, the message of Jesus is to become part of family life and discussion. Look at how verse 7 continues. Talk about God's commandments as you sit at home, when you're having dinner, when you're sitting around in the living room, maybe you're in the garden relaxing. When you walk along the road, talk about God's commandments. We might add today, when you're in the car, when you're on the train, when you lie down, when your children are going to bed, use that as a time to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. When you get up in the morning, pray together, have a family Bible time. The job of Christian discipleship is to be intermingled in the higgledy-piggledy of day-to-day life in your family. Verse 8. Tie the commands as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Now, were the original readers meant to take this literally, or Is it speaking about binding them into your family life? So you're filling your mind with it, you're filling your home with it. There's a potential debate about that. But some Jewish people did take it literally, and we know this because by the Red Sea, things called phylacteries have been discovered. And a phylactery is a small box with straps on that you can strap on your forehead and tie around and keep little scrolls with God's word in. Some Jews took it literally. Not sure whether we should do that. But the WWJD bracelet, that is kind of heading in that direction. I'm sure this was an inspiration for that idea. What would Jesus do? Verse 9, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, before coming to join you in Virginia Water, I lived in North London. And I remember seeing a small shape on some door frames in a block of flats. Wonder what they were. Here's one of them. It turned out that they are called mezuzah. The mezuzah actually refers to what's inside its little box. And it's a handwritten scroll of two chapters of the Torah from the first books of the Bible. And each of them contains Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which we just read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Jesus declared this to be the most important commandment, and the Jewish people still think that today. So British Jews are kind of trying to keep this instruction literally by this little box. Of course, if they were doing literally, it would actually be written on the frame, but it's kind of heading in that direction in a slightly more discreet way. Should we do this? Well, I'd certainly encourage Christian families to put scriptures up on their walls, maybe do artwork with your children. Bring the Word of God into the center of your family life. But the point is that whether we use artwork or not, God's Word should indwell and inhabit our family. It's the very nature of being a Christian family that we should do this. And at a very basic level, it means don't leave Bible input to the Sunday clubs and to school assemblies. Don't think this is the job of the Sunday club leaders or the people in school. It's not really my job. Because it is primarily the job of the Christian parent. Take responsibility for impressing the gospel upon your children. This means that every parent needs a number of basic skills. They need the skill of being a Bible teacher. They need the skill of being an apologist to answer questions that their children raise out of hearing the Bible. Every parent needs to be an evangelist in order to explain the faith to their children and to lead them to Christ. My 4-year-old boy asked me this week, Daddy, why did God invent germs? Good question. I'm assuming he's thinking germs are bad. Why would God do that? I needed to give him an answer. It was difficult. How should I pitch it at his level? What was the right thing to say? So I gave him a brief answer about Adam and Eve disobeying God and that bringing sin into the world. And then the next day at tea time, I remembered about Jesus' return and the promise that there'll be no more crying or pain in God's new kingdom. So we can assume that God's going to get rid of the germs if there's no more pain. And I shared that with him. I don't know if that was the best answer. I wonder what you think. I wonder what you'd have said. We can't answer every question that our children ask. But we need to be the best teachers and apologists and evangelists with our children that we can be. Explaining the Trinity to young children is very difficult. But sooner or later, they're going to raise the issue if you teach them that Jesus is God. Parents, you need to work hard at these things. You need to be one step ahead of your children. So do you want a Christian ministry? Well, if you're a parent, you already have one. A very important task. Are you unmarried and you want a Christian ministry? Well, for some of us, get married, have children, and get a ministry. It's there for the taking. I think the first hurdle, which many Christian parents never properly jump, is to simply accept the responsibility of the task. Under God, it's the parent's task. And I feel that in our culture, in our church culture, obviously I don't know what it's really like for each of you at home, but I'm not just thinking about here, I'm thinking about the church more broadly. We have a black hole here. Sunday school was invented a few hundred years ago. What happened before that? It was the job of Christian parents to teach their children. And we seem to somehow have forgotten that. Do you remember the feeling, if you're a parent, of naming your first child? Suddenly you find it's time to name your child, and maybe you've never really thought about it. It isn't anybody else's job to do it. It's your responsibility and privilege. It's the same with caring that your children love and know the Lord. It's your job. So will you own it? Maybe for some of you, it's the first time of thinking like this. You may feel completely incompetent. And when something's difficult, a difficult responsibility, sometimes we just go into denial and just forget about it. We all have responsibilities that we don't actually take up. But don't let this be the one that you duck. It's too important. It's your most important task. Take responsibility and pray that God will enable you. So firstly, parents. Secondly, fathers. Take responsibility for your children's training and instruction in the Lord. If Christian discipleship does take place in the home, it's often seen as the mother's job. Dad's out at work, he gets home late. Christian fathers here today, don't leave it to your wife. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." This is a direct instruction to every dad who's part of Christ Church. It's one to take literally. You are responsible for training and instructing your children. Your wife's going to do some of it for sure, but you need to take the lead. Perhaps you work long hours that just don't permit it. If that is the case, then I say with all seriousness that you should get a different job. If you're too busy to do this, then you're too busy. It's too important. It isn't enough to provide for your family financially. Now, I want to commend hard-working fathers who provide for their families. Some of you have jobs that take you away for periods of time, maybe abroad, on travel. That's okay. But if the work schedule is such that there's just never time for this in the program, then I seriously think you need to think about the work that you do. I find that a scary thing to say, but I think it's true. Now, I know how hard it is to keep this on the agenda, and it's easier for me because I have extra time in the morning. My commute is from the kitchen to the garage just outside in our garden, which has been converted into my study. So I've got it easy, but I still find it difficult. I keep having days when I want to shirk the responsibility. I've got too much to do. I'm too tired. I can't think what to teach them. But if there was a GCSE in being a Christian dad, this would be the core curriculum, because it's basic Christian fatherhood. Bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let me share some resources with you which have helped Georgina and myself thinking more about us parents again, not just fathers. Our children are currently 4, 3, and 0, so I'm more clued up in resources for toddlers. But Suzanne and I have put together a resource table at the back, which has stuff for older children as well. Do have a look at that afterwards. Georgina and I have found that we've needed to research lots of different resources, and we need to keep doing that periodically. We've needed lots of different things to keep the Bible family time going, to keep it fresh, to keep us praying together. And the best websites that I can personally recommend to you, I'm sure there are others, but the best ones I've found are Children Desiring God and the Good Book Company website. Children Desiring God is the children's ministry of John Piper's church in Minnesota in America. And the Good Book Company is a British company based in London who produce their own resources and sell other people's material. But they've got a really good filter on it, so you can be pretty sure it's going to be reliable. Here's something that we ordered from Children Desiring God. It's his Praiseworthy Deeds. It's a very simple Bible overview for toddlers. It takes you through some Old Testament stories into the New Testament. We've been through it a couple of times now. It comes with great pictures. And we found it really good. Been really helpful. We've also tried doing some memory verses. And again, we got this from Children Desiring God. It's just a kind of block which has a different verse on each page and a picture to go with it. Sometimes we've used that in our Bible times, which has been helpful. And I think the best thing that I've found for probably children up to five, Tom's four and he is still working well with him, is the Beginner's Bible and this thing that goes with it, specifically designed for it, Beginning with God, which is designed by the Good Book Company to take you through the Beginner's Bible. It really is excellent. It's the right kind of length. It only takes a couple of minutes in advance just to think through the opening discussion, and maybe you need a teddy or something as a resource to illustrate it. It helps you pray, so we pray as a family. It's got good questions, and very importantly, it's got stickers in it, which go down very well. You see, we've used most of ours there. So I'd really recommend those. And whenever we finish one of the books, it's been really sad. We've suddenly had this, you know, kind of vacuum. What are we going to do next? And so Book 3 has just come out, which we're doing, which is great. Do please talk to Suzanne and myself to discuss more. And talk to one another. Let's start a dialogue. That's one way that you can serve each other, be interested in each other's needs, is talking about parenting and resources. Get ideas. Find out what other parents are doing. So we thought about parents and fathers. Finally, thinking about the church family. And for each of us, caring for other people's children in their growing up to love and serve the Lord. I've wanted to emphasize the responsibility to parents, and particularly fathers, because I feel it's something that's missing in contemporary church life. But bringing up children to love and serve the Lord is a church family activity. And I want to celebrate all the hard work that goes on in our Sunday clubs. It's going on at the moment. Lots of leaders serving that way. Lots of children involved, which is wonderful. I want to celebrate our midweek group for 11 to 14-year-olds called WAC, and the good work that goes on there, and Fuel for 14 to 18-year-olds on Friday and Sunday nights. We can rightly be proud of our children and youth ministry here at Christ Church. There's a good work going on. We praise God for that. Perhaps you could serve in one of these ministries. There are lots of ways to be involved. Each age group could do with a bigger team. And I know that Suzanne particularly needs some new workers. I think various people have moved on. Maybe they moved away from the area, or they've moved into different ministries in the church. But the main thing that I want to ask you to do this morning is to pray for and encourage the parents in the church. This is one clear way that everyone can be involved in this commitment of our membership covenant. When appropriate, why not ask parents how the spiritual development of their children is going? And then maybe commit to pray for that family for a couple of weeks, to pray for godly growth amongst them. Whatever stage of life you're at, this is a practical way that you can be involved in this good work. So, parents, Take responsibility for impressing the gospel of Jesus upon your children. Fathers, take responsibility for your children's training and instruction. And church, let's care together for one another's children. I'd like us to finish by praying for all the parents present here at the moment. So anyone who's got children aged 0 to 18, would you stand up and we'll pray for you. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of children. We recognize the amazing responsibility that you give us to bring them up to love and serve you. We ask now for the empowering of your Holy Spirit for each parent here, for every mother and father. Please help us to take responsibility for our children's spiritual growth. Please give us the help, the encouragement, the time that we need to fulfill this responsibility. And we pray this, that your kingdom might come, that our children might persevere through to eternal life. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.